much before he comes up to open the Word for us. I did want to just say a couple of things by way of introduction. Many of you are probably aware that Edward and Crystal arrived here at Fellowship Church about 5 years ago. They came here from Minnesota with all four of their family members and all of their earthly possessions in a Kia. All in a tiny little car. They're about to go back to Minnesota, and with the exception of Edward's books, which have been mailed ahead, all four of them will go back to Minnesota with all of their possessions in a Kia. They have upgraded to a Kia SUV, so somewhat larger, although I'm guessing Jesse alone may take up the extra space from when they came down years ago. But they've been such a blessing here at Fellowship, and I'm going to say something that I've said before that I think should encourage us as the body of Christ, the way the Lord is growing His church. For years at Fellowship, we've prayed that the Lord would give us opportunities to be active in missions. And yet we're a small church, we're a church with very normal and in some ways humble means, and so while we prayed for that, it's interesting to see the way that God has answered that prayer is by people that He's brought through Fellowship Church over the years. And if you think about it, there are those that that we support in Japan, in mainland China, in the British Isles, but even just from our body, there are those that are pastoring in South America. A number pastoring in South America, one pastoring in a bilingual church, both English and German, in Germany. And now we see Edward having an opportunity to go back to his home church, which is a church that preaches both in Chinese and in English with translation. And so it's interesting to see the way the Lord has answered our prayers and the way that the Lord is building for Himself a church made up of those from every tongue and tribe and nation. And if you've been here for 5 years, you know that constantly the Lews have served the body of Christ while they've been here. I think Edward repainted the old building when all we had was the old building. And Crystal has labored in so many different ways. Probably one of the places that you see her the most is on Wednesday nights helping prepare and serve food. Jesse and Grace came here, elementary school children, and now they're moving back to Minnesota, a young man and a young lady. Edward's not the tallest member of the family anymore. And it's been interesting to see, again, the way that that the young Lews have used their gifts to serve the body as well. So it's just a real, they've been a wonderful blessing here at Fellowship. We know that they will continue to be a blessing to God's people as they move back to Minnesota. And so it's a wonderful privilege this evening to have Edward Lew come and open the Word for us.
Thank you for blessing, give me this privilege here, and I can proclaim God's word together with every brother, sisters, and friends. And if you have a Bible, and could you please open to Mark chapter 8. Today, the message comes from Mark chapter 8, from verse 27 to 30. Verse 27 to 30. This is God's word. Jesus went out along with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he questioned his disciples, saying to them, "Who do people say that I am?" They told him, saying, "John the Baptist. And others say Elijah, but others one of the prophets." And he continued by questioning them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered and said to him, "You are the Christ." And he warned them to tell no one about him. Let's pray together. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank you, Father, for your love, for your mercy, and you give each of us this beautiful day. Especially today is you instituted when you created heaven and earth. And your people can rest in this day. We can enjoy him. Oh, Father, we thank you. Father, please be with each of us. And may your Holy Spirit walk in this in among us and work in our heart so that we can understand your word and we can edify each other, encourage each other. We thank you. We pray in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. As a student from elementary school to college, everyone has taken many tests or quizzes. Generally speaking, there are two types of tests and quiz: oral and written. Through test or quiz, teachers can know the result of teaching so that they can improve the method or the content of teaching. Meanwhile, students can examine whether they grasp and understand the required knowledge or skill they are supposed to know. Most times, tests or quizzes are scheduled. But sometimes, teachers give students a pop quiz. When I was a teacher in China, sometimes I gave students a pop quiz, and they are always very nervous because they did not prepare it. How could students do well on a quiz, pop quiz? First, they should be very serious and careful to do it. Second, they should usually review what they learned and be ready anytime. In today's passage, Jesus gave his disciples a pop quiz about his identity. In fact, we all will take this quiz too. In order to do well in this quiz, we'd better to make a good preparation now. Because in the judgment of the last day, if we do not know the answer very well, we will fail. And we will have no chance to make up. This quiz has only two questions, but it is significant for Jesus' ministry and his disciples' life. In fact, it is extremely important for all the people, including you and me, because it pertains to eternal life and eternal death. The center of this quiz is, who is Jesus? From this passage, we can see, no matter who the world says Jesus is, God's people are bound to confess that Jesus is the Christ. No matter who the world says Jesus is, God's people are bound to confess that Jesus is the Christ. I will consider this in two headings. One is the world's misconception of Jesus. Second, God's people's true confession of Jesus as the Christ. Let's look at the first point, the world's misconception of Jesus. Let's look at verse 27 to 28. Jesus went out along with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, And on the way, he questioned his disciples, saying to them, "Who do people say that I am?" They told him, saying, "John the Baptist, and others saying, Elijah, but others, one of the prophets." In fact, according to the context, before Jesus gave this pop quiz, he just healed the blind man in two stages and rebuked him not to come to the village. He also fed 5,000 men with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he fed 4,000 people with 7 loaves and a few little fish. Many people experienced his teaching, healing, and miracles. But even his disciples were so slow to understand them that they were amazing and said to one another, "Who then is this?" Most Jews accepted John the Baptist as the messenger who prepared the way of the Lord. But they rejected Jesus as the Lord in the prophecies. When Jesus asked his disciples about his identity, he was already very famous in all of Galilee because of his healing, teaching, casting out demons, and performing other miracles. They saw or heard Jesus cast out demons, healed leper, made the deaf hear and the blind see, fed 5,000 people and 4,000 people, etc. And in verse 27, we can see a place named Caesarea Philippi. This is a city northeast of the Sea of Galilee. It is some 25 miles to north of the Sea of Galilee. It was a gentle territory. The people of this area, worship Emperor Caesar. They treated Caesar as their lord. However, Jesus brought his disciples here to show them he is the Lord of the universe. So we will ask this question. Who does the world think Jesus is? In verse 28, the disciple told Jesus that someone said Jesus is John Baptist. Why? Because Mark 6 tells us that King Herod killed John the Baptist because John the Baptist rebuked him for his immoral marriage. When he heard what Jesus had done, he said that John the Baptist rose from the dead. In fact, about 700 years ago, John the Baptist and Jesus were born. Before John the Baptist and Jesus were born, the prophet Isaiah had prophesied in Isaiah 20, chapter 43 to 5 about the coming of John the Baptist and Jesus. It says, "A voice is calling, 'Clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low, and let rough ground become a plain, and the ridged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." And 300 years later, the prophet Malachi prophesied the same thing in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I am going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming. In fact, Mark chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, cited from Isaiah and Malachi. It says, Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. The whole Gospel of Mark unfold these two prophecies. In the verse 28, we also can see some people said he is Elijah, because Jews know Elijah was taken up by God. He didn't experience death and he would return to Israel. And also some said he is one of the prophets, probably because they recalled Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you. From you, countrymen, you shall listen to him. We can find interesting things from these two verses that none of the people here said Jesus was a deceiver. All agreed that he is a prophet sent by God. In other words, they accepted that he did but they rejected his divine identity as the Christ. And why don't they believe Jesus is Christ? Because all nature men are in total depravity. We can see this from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. It says, And you were dead in your trespasses and sin. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, But the nature man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. In other words, they are spiritually dead and blind. Even they saw all things Jesus did, they could not understand. They are dead and blind spiritually. Let's look at the second point in this passage. God's people true confess of Jesus as Christ. Let's read the verse 29 to 30. And he continued by questioning them, But who do you see that I am? Peter answered, that said to him, You are the Christ. And he warned them to tell no one about him. In fact, before confessing of Jesus as the Christ, even God's people also experience unbelief. Although the disciples follow Jesus day by day witnesses all things Jesus did, they also experienced unbelief. We can remember when they saw Jesus walked on the sea and commanded sea to be quiet and the wind to stop. They were just astonished. When they discussed with one another that they had no bread, in Mark chapter 8, verse 17 to 18, Jesus said, "Do you not yet see or understand? Do you have a hardened heart? Have heavy eyes, do you not see? And heavy ears, do you not hear?" In fact, it is God who makes them confess Jesus as the Christ. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 16 to 17, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." In other words, it is God's almighty power change their hearts. Peter's understanding was given to him from above, going beyond what he could have discerned on his own mind. Here, Christ literally means the anointed one. This is the first time in Mark's narrative that the same Christ appears. Peter, as spokesman of the disciples, confessed that Jesus is the Christ. In fact, it is a high point in the revelation of Jesus' person and the turning point in his earthly ministry. From now on, his teaching will concentrate on his impending death, and he will soon begin to travel to Jerusalem. And from the verse 30, we also can see Christ confirms the disciples' answer about his identity by charging them to keep silent. There is a twofold meaning of Christ's charge. First, he charged them to keep silent means that he affirmed his disciples' answer about his identity as the Christ. For example, during our family worship, sometimes I asked Jesse or Grace shorter catechism questions. If I ask Jesse a question, Grace suddenly helped answer me correctly, and usually I charge Grace to keep silent because I know his answer is correct. I don't want Jesse hear it. Second, his time had not come yet. He charged them not to tell others about his identity. It has the following benefits. It can prevent Jews from taking him by force and make him a king. It also can prevent his enemies from killing him before his travel to Jerusalem. And also, his disciples need to learn more about him. Last reason is his deity is easier to be accepted by his glorious resurrection and ascension. In fact, one commentator says, for the present, the disciples must keep the status of Jesus secret to other people until the proof of it was completed and they were qualified to maintain it. The revelation of Jesus as the Messiah had to begin discreetly and proceed by stages, so that the plan of God for the death of his servant would not be jeopardized by any excesses of popular enthusiasm. Jesus knows people's heart. They just want to be full by eating the bread. He will not allow political nations of messiahship to compromise his true calling to be the suffering Messiah, whose essentially moral and spiritual work of redemption will be total. Brothers, sisters, and friends, when you take this pop quiz, how do you answer Jesus' question about his identity? If you confess that Jesus is Christ, what does it mean for you? It means that your life is in his hand. You belong to him. It includes all areas of your life. It includes your marriage, your family, your education, your vocation, and all vicissitudes in your life. However, Christians are not fatalists. You need to know God's sovereignty and man's responsibility are like two sides of a coin. Man's responsibility is to obey God's word. Even though you know Jesus is the Christ, you still need to learn more about him, because he is the infinite God. According to Mark chapter 8, verse 31 to 37, when Peter confessed Jesus is Christ, he didn't know about his suffering, death, and resurrection. In order to know God more, you should usually attend Sunday worship, Sunday school, prayer meeting, and other fellowship. You also need to do regular Bible reading, devotion, Bible study, family worship, and individual reading Bible and prayer. And how do you reflect your faith in Christ in your daily life? My answer is trust him and obey him. In order to encourage each other, and please allow me to share some self-experience. 5 years ago, when I confirmed God's guidance and calling, I started to look for a seminary. When I got the admission from Greenville Seminary, there were two problems we have to face. The first one is finance. How could we survive in Greenville? We had no savings. What valuable things we had were two old cars and one used piano. The second problem was language. My native language is Chinese. How could I pass all 45 courses, including Greek and Hebrew? I didn't read any theological books written in English. I hadn't finished reading English Bible a single time. Based on all these facts, it was absolutely impossible for me and my whole family to survive and finish seminary study in Greenville. However, As God says in Isaiah 55, verse 8 to 9, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." By God's grace, from the day when we left Minnesota to today, God led our every steps. He aroused churches, organizations, and individuals to support my study in seminary and my family's life financially and spiritually. Some individuals supported us anonymously. To this day, we do not know their names. Our Heavenly Father knows what they did, I believe. In fact, in the beginning we arrived in Greenville, a couple hosted us for the first 2 weeks. They also brought us to the Fellowship Presbyterian Church, and we joined this spiritual family filled with love and mercy. God also prepared Greenville Classical Academy for Jesse and Grace, and the school provides a full scholarship for them. Regarding my study in seminary, for most seminarians there, it was probably just a normally advanced education. But for me, it was a miracle to be able to complete my studies and obtain the degree. I see it is a miracle because when I consider these things, I know it is impossible for me to complete these things without God's grace and mercy. First, it was impossible for me to finish the amount of reading. One day, my son and I read the book, The New Man, respectively. We used this book in our morning brother fellowship. I spent 1.5 hours finishing one chapter. When I asked him how long he spent, he told me he finished that chapter in 20 minutes. Second, it was impossible for me to pass all written and oral tests. Although I spent much time preparing for each test, I dare not ensure I could pass it. I know it is in God's hands. I still remember that just before the final, our dear pastor asked me about my final exam. I know he is kidding, but he asked me, "Could you pass the final exam?" I said, "Who knows? Only in God's hand." When we were weak or were all in hard time, there are two Bible verses that always encouraged my wife and me. The first one is Psalm 127:1. "Unless the Lord build the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watched over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." The second one is Philippians 1:6. "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in your will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." From today's passage, and we know the word misconception of Jesus, but God's people confess Jesus as Christ. The Lord pop quiz was not only for the disciples of the first century, but also for all people, including you and me. When you take this quiz, what is your answer? If you really believe Jesus is Christ, what does it mean for you? How do you respond in your life? If you have read a great deal of the doctrine Christ preached and the miracles he performed, even if you have read the whole Bible many times and remembered many verses, what these things mean to you? These things are not for amusement or to furnish us with matter for discourse, but to make us believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. However, if you just stopped at believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, it is useless and futile. Because the Bible tells us that even Satan and the demons believe that Jesus is the Holy One, the Son of God, but they shudder. As God's people, since we believe Jesus is the Christ, we should always trust him and obey his word, because he is a faithful, all-powerful, and unchangeable God. Dear brothers and sisters, praise the Lord for his steadfast love, mercy, kindness, and faithfulness. It is God who led our whole family to the Fellowship Presbyterian Church. During the past 5 years, we saw God's great work in our church here. And we had a chance to serve him and build up his body with other brothers and sisters together. I cannot find any proper word to express our gratitude for every brother and sister. Thank you all for your love and kindness in Christ. May our Heavenly Father continue to bless the Fellowship Presbyterian Church. Every brothers and sisters can know Christ more deeper. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Father, we thank you. You collect everyone here, and we can worship you in this special day, the Lord Day. And we can know who our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. And we can know what we should do to glorify your name. Father, may your peace and your love be with each of us until the last day you come. We thank you. We pray in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen.